What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Double M Show. This time, it's the guys edition. Guys night.
Guys night.
It's just Mike Nice and I. No T-Mac this week, but you know, we're going to hold it down for her. She does an amazing job as well. Mr. Mike Nice, DJ Mies, Double M Show, you know, powered by CLNS Media, also brought to you by Massive Media. Mike, this has been, I'm going to get right to it. I'm
going to get Let him right know.
To it, man. Here's the playlist. NBA free agency.
Hot right now.
Crazy.
Real hot.
What are we? You are on Tuesday, so what? Two days in?
Legally. You want to say legally. They've been wheeling and dealing for weeks now. Right. Months now, to be honest, but
there's a lot to get to, Mike, in this free agency. A lot of top free agents signed. I'm going to get to some big names already that if you haven't heard about already, you already know. Kevin Durant, gone to the Brooklyn Nets, 4 years. Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn Nets, 4 years. Kemba Walker is a Boston Celtic.
Celtics!
You asked me that 3 months ago. I promise you, I would not believe it. Klay resigns. Kristaps Porzingis resigns. Jimmy Butler to the Heat. Tobias resigns with Philly. Chris Middleton got buku stupid money with the Milwaukee Bucks.
So much.
And to the point that Malcolm Brogdon had to go to Indiana. D'Angelo Russell, which was a big surprise, he goes to Golden State Warriors. And another big name in Vucevic re-signed. So the big names that are left are Kawhi Leonard. Nobody in the... This guy must have like the New England Patriots team around him. Because no one has a clue what is going on with Kawhi. No one knows if he's staying, if he's going.
You hear different things.
You hear so many rumors.
Every day.
None of the reporters really know. So, which is shout out to Kawhi for being able to do that. So Kawhi's won another big name in DeMarcus Cousins to the point, you know, reports coming out today that nobody wants his ass. Nobody's even looking his way, you know, due to the injuries and obviously what he's brought into locker rooms in the past. But it's unfair to him because you never heard anything negative in the locker room when he was with the Pelicans. And you didn't hear anything negative in the locker room.
It was
room.
A lot of his on-the-court antics that rubbed people the wrong way and how he... You know, react to calls and dealt with the referees. A lot of that stuff that people got to see on TV, up close in person, you know, during games. That's the stuff that rubbed the people the wrong way. But it comes to the locker room, like you said, you never really heard too many negative things about DeMarcus Cousins or teammates coming out talking negatively about him. So it's just tough for him right now.
So I named you some of the big, you know, free agents that have either re-signed or have gone away. For the people that are watching right now, and for you, Mike Nice, what was the biggest surprise? The signing or the trade was something that caught your attention, like, whoa, this I did not see coming at all. Biggest surprise of free agency so far?
I mean, I did not see Kevin Durant leaving the Warriors. You know, obviously, usually when stuff goes down, a player leaves a team, stuff starts to come out about, well, there was a lot of this stuff and that stuff going on in the backgrounds behind the scene. Like, I read an article or report today saying that Kevin Durant really felt disrespected by the organization and didn't like how he was being treated and a whole bunch of stuff. I really thought that just the way the season, the playoffs, the finals unfolded, knowing how great of the team, knowing the fact that if everybody is healthy, Warriors are winning the championship. That's not even a question. You know how great of a team you have in Golden State. You know that if you're Durant and you're on the floor, they'll probably win the championship 3 in a row. Just seeing how everything unfolded, I figured Durant might say, at least let me, you know, pick up my player option and stay one more year, you know, and maybe try to personally fly under the radar, because I truly felt that if Durant goes to another team, you know, not, and I think we talked about this off air, I mean, there'd be a little bit of pressure on Durant. Obviously, he's coming back from a torn Achilles, and that's not easy to come back from. But going to a new organization and knowing that now this new organization, this team is now on your back. It doesn't matter who else is on the team. You're Kevin Durant. this team is on your back. When you're on the Warriors, you know, you kind of fly kind of under the radar, but they're talking about Curry. They're talking about Klay Thompson. They're talking about Draymond Green. There's a lot of other storylines going on with the Warriors. And yes, Kevin Durant's just on the team. But you go somewhere else, you're pretty much putting this new team on your back. So he goes to the Brooklyn Nets, a team that's sucked over the last several years. I know last season they made a little bit of noise, but when you think of the Nets, Brooklyn Nets, New Jersey Nets, it doesn't matter. Over the last several seasons, they've not been a good team. Now they're kind of on, they're on your back. Pressure kind of is on your back in terms of when you finally get healthy, what can you bring to this organization, or how long is it going to take you to get healthy again and return to the floor? I didn't think Kevin Durant wanted to hear all of that noise. I figured he just probably want to lay low, slowly work his way back with a still decent team in Golden State Warriors, with the Golden State Warriors, and then come back fully healthy, you know, later on, late next season or even the following season, and come back to play. So that really shocked me that he jumped and went to Brooklyn.
I think you're in the minority with that surprise. I think a lot of people knew that, you know, KD wasn't really going to stay there. Even when the signing happened, when KD went to Golden State, everyone was pretty much talking about how, hey, you know, KD's going to be here for a while, you know, help get himself some rings and then probably venture off forward. And then after we saw what happened with his leg and then the whole medical thing.
That was ugly.
That's when I knew KD was out of here. We knew all year, your reporter, Kyrie, KD, you know, best friends. They want to play together. And it came to fruition. But a surprise for me, it was said in the chat as well, Al Horford.
Yeah. Wow.
Al Horford. Like, at first you hear, okay, Al Horford is, there's a team suiting Al Horford for $100 million. And I'm like, yo, who the hell is giving Al Horford $100 million? But then, you know, you see that Celtics might do a sign and trade. They'll have a mid-level exception.
Felt good that he was coming back.
Oh, Horford's going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to look good for us. And then you find out the freaking 76ers.
Came out of nowhere.
And the Sixers were falling apart. J.J. Redick dipped. Jimmy Butler went to Miami.
They got Tobias Harris back.
They got Tobias, but if you watch the playoffs, Tobias, to me, didn't do anything. Maybe you'll do better without having a clogged-up lineup. But the Sixers are falling apart. It just looked like Simmons, Embiid, and Harris. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Al Horford signs to the 76ers, $109 million. And it has incentives. It's $97 million guaranteed with a $12 million incentive, which I never even seen in the NBA. Sound like a football concept.
Sure does.
But yeah, that one is crazy. Cause one, not only does that kill the Celtics, that's a huge hole that I don't know if the Celtics are going to be able to recover from. And we're going to get into a lot of Celtics later into the show, but Al Horford, Mike, is going to be pretty damn good in the Sixers,
you know,
uniform.
I said this to a few people, on a very low scale, not on the same level, on a lower scale, Al Horford leaving Boston to go to Philly is pretty similar to Ray Allen leaving Boston to go to Miami.
It's similar in what? In fan base being hurt or just the impact on the court?
More fan base being hurt. I mean, Ray Allen was still a decent player with the Celtics. Yes, he started phasing out later on because Avery Bradley started playing good, but like, he's still a sharp shooting three-point specialist. The fact that these two players who Horford was started to become beloved by Celtics fans, nobody wanted to see Horford go. There's a lot of conversation of people being pissed more about Horford leaving than Kyrie, which is understandable because Horford did a lot for the Celtics in his 4 years in Boston. So when I say to the same level as Ray Allen, you're talking about a beloved player. Ray Allen was beloved. Horford was beloved. And they leave and they sign with the rival. Then, at the time for the Celtics, it was Miami Heat. Right now, it's the Philadelphia 76ers in the division. It's, you know, obviously Toronto's there too, and you battle in Toronto in the division. But Sixers, excuse me, going back and forth with them. Horford is now a guy that the Celtics have to see, what, four times a year, right in your same division.
With Horford, they both hurt. Like Derek's saying, he hates the guy now, but I feel like it's more understandable with Horford. Horford, you're 33 years old and the team is throwing you $100 million.
I mean, yeah, for him, you're not turning down $100 mil.
You can't turn that down at all. Ray Allen was like, okay, Celtics were still going to give you a decent contract. And this is the LeBron James factor. You know, this is all the years you're battling the Miami Heat to get to the finals. The Heat versus Celtics, mm-hmm. Celtics versus the Cavs. You know, all of that animosity between the hate between Heat and Celtics was a lot deeper than what it is with Philly. Philly's a nice, cute little rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joel Embiid and things like that. But it's not as deep as it was in 2013.
True. Still, that's why I made sure to say at the beginning, to a lower scale. It's not the same, obviously, as Ray Allen. Ray Allen leaving to go to Miami was huge. And also, you're talking about a guy who brought a championship back to the city. As much as Horford has been playing well for the Celtics, there's no hardware to show for his time in Boston. So that's why I said on a lower level. But at the end of the day, Horford comes back to Boston in the Sixers uniform. Is he getting a standing ovation?
Nah, it's going to get mixed.
I think it's going to be mixed. It's going to be mixed.
Because Horford was nothing but great here. You know, I remember the first year Horford came. It's like, okay, man, we're paying you $100 million and you're not really, what's going on here? And then once the playoffs started, Isaiah had the tragedy. He got hurt. And the team ran through Horford and he balled out. And then from that play, his first year in the playoffs on, he's been nothing but spectacular, earned every cent that the Celtics gave him.
Yeah, I'm appreciative of his time in Boston, for sure.
Definitely. But let's move on. Like we said, we're going to get to a lot of Celtics talk soon. Some surprises. Clifton says, Jimmy Butler to the Heat, Mike, quickly. What are your reactions about that?
Shocking. I guess it's Miami, you know, South Beach. But, like, in terms of a team, what are you going to in Miami? They just got rid of Whiteside. Whiteside's gone. You know,
Whiteside sucked. So don't even Brent
Mack. Okay,
Whiteside.
But sure. But still, looking at that roster, who's the best player on the roster? Dragic? You going there because you want to play with Dragic? Like
Dragic,
not Winslow. I don't see what really drove Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you're getting a max contract. You know. Jimmy Butler's had a lot of conversation over the last couple of years about him getting the max, that he deserved the max, this and that. Miami was willing to give him the max. But other than that, I don't see why Miami for Jimmy Butler. But hey, if the money talks and teams gives you a max contract in front of your face, you know, and he's going to be the face of that team.
Yeah,
he's the face of the team.
This is going to be Jimmy Butler's team.
That's all that, I think that's what it really is, yeah.
You know, so Jimmy Butler, South Beach, Dwayne Wade factor, that's his boy. He could still be a playoff team. They got better than they were last year.
And the East, yeah, they'll be in there.
They got better than they were last year. Jimmy Butler is a baller, regardless of what happens. But like you said, it's shocking. Doesn't make too much sense. He stayed in Philly. Especially right now, with not knowing what happens to Kawhi, you have a chance to go to the finals.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm shocked.
You'll still be that closer for the team. Like, it was established that Jimmy Butler was the closer for the 76ers.
I can't understand.
Fourth quarter, he was like the point guard pretty much.
There's no reason why Philly should not have just run it back with that team that they put together last year. They could have paid Tobias. They could have paid Jimmy. You know, I think losing Redick would have hurt a little bit. But in all honesty, they could have picked up somebody else to somewhat replace Redick. I think Redick's a little bit, he's replaceable. Losing him sucked, but like, Philly should have done whatever they could to run that team back again, because that was a very solid team.
Corey saying, Brogdon to the Pacers was a surprise. He was a big part of Milwaukee's defense and great. Milwaukee, that one's going to hurt them. You saw what happened when Brogdon was hurt during the year. He came back into the playoffs, and you just know what he brings to them. This is a 50-40-90 guy. Those are rare. Like, yes, he's not as flat. His numbers aren't flashy, anything like that. But when you got a 50-40-90 guy on your team who can play defense, knows how to score in multiple ways, with a team that's lacking scoring, like Giannis is great, but he can't do it all, which was shown. Chris Middleton.
He's a borderline all-star. He was an all-star last year.
He's a borderline all-star. He's not a guy who's
He made the all-star
make,
team.
How many all-star teams is he going to make, Mike?
He made one last year. He's building off of that.
He's one of those, all stars. Like when they invite you to the show, and we're inviting Chris Middleton, one time all star.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. That's what he is. He's a great shooter. He got the all-star vote because he doesn't miss against the Celtics. That's about it.
If he could play against the Celtics every game.
Every game. Then,
he's
an
all-star starter.
He's a superstar. Okay. Then he deserves that money that he got. But yeah, losing Brogdon's and the Pacers. Pacers are balling now.
Pacers, man.
Pacers got a team.
They lost Bogdanovich, but to replace Bogdanovich with Brogdon, that's pretty solid. Now you got more of a score, a decent score, and a playmaker to kind of hold down the fort once Victor Oladipo comes back. But Pacers now, you know, Zabonis, you know, was in the running for most improved, I believe.
I like Sabonis.
Or a sixth man of the year. I forgot which one he was in the category for, but Zabonis has been improving. Miles Turner, I think, is continuing to get better. I'm not sure if Tyreek Evans is still
Tyreek Evans got the boot.
Sorry.
He was off the other stuff, so the NBA said, yeah.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Join O.J. Mayo somewhere else.
go ride some camels with O.J. Mayo in the desert somewhere. But, yeah, the Pacers, you know, especially once they get Oladipo. Hey, that's the thing with a couple of these teams, like Pacers in Brooklyn, you know, they're waiting for guys to come back. So, you know, they might be treading water a little bit. But once the guys come back, like, let's talk about it. Durant, Kyrie to the Nets. The Nets next year, led by Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan and Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. I'm not expecting much out of that Nets team.
I feel like I'm the only one that thinks that the Nets are going to be good.
Why? But what makes you feel like they're going to be good? Because they have Kyrie now?
They have Kyrie. I don't know. Their center position is kind of iffy, but they're going to get better. Dinwiddie is going to get better. Caris LeVert, hopefully now coming off of that injury, he comes back to form where he was. Because we're forgetting, Caris LeVert was going to be an all-star.
Oh, yeah. He started off the season on fire.
He was on my fantasy team.
I was just about to say. I remember you had him. Yep.
He was on my fantasy team. He was balling. Caris LeVert, I think he's going to be special in this league. If you add in Kyrie, they have already a culture in there. If Kyrie doesn't, you know.
Boston had a culture.
If Kyrie doesn't become moody and just suck up all the air, I think the Nets will be in the top four, top five running still.
So who's the leader on that team?
The leader of the Nets?
Yes.
Right now, unfortunately, it's got to be either Dinwiddie or Kyrie.
Oh, man.
Right?
You saw how that leadership from Kyrie went last year. So I don't know. Even, you know what? I was having this conversation with my cousin last couple of days. Even with Durant coming back next year, we've seen firsthand Kyrie's leadership skills. Durant, has he ever fully been a leader of a team? Like that Thunder team, it was just a lot of athleticism and talent over there with Westbrook and Durant, young Ibaka, young James Harden. It was a lot of talent over there. Then he goes to Golden State where, you know, the culture is literally already established between the Splash Brothers and Draymond.
I have no concern Durant being a leader. This is a guy who leads on the court. Regardless what happened, leads on. And what is he? He's 30 now, 30, 31. He's had all the experience in the world, two-time finals MVP. He'll know what to say to the guys. And he's going to earn everyone's respect on the court. And I think Kyrie knows, especially after being humbled these past 2 years, if Kevin Durant comes back in form, it's Durant's team.
Kyrie doesn't want that. Remember, Marv? Kyrie doesn't want that. He didn't want to be on Cleveland for that same situation.
And then he left Boston. the man knows that he wanted Kevin Durant to come play with them. They're best friends, and he knows about Durant's talent. He knows that, hey, when Durant comes back, this is Durant's team.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Nets really put it all together. Because part of me feels, maybe it's just because it's the East, I don't know. But even with healthy Durant, Kyrie, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jordan, that's the team that maybe we should fear in the East. Say Kawhi goes back and stays with Toronto. You still got the defending champion Toronto Raptors for this year and possibly next year. Celtics, you know, we're going to talk about the Celtics coming real soon, but a lot of people are believing Celtics should be on a trajectory that has taken them continuously to the next level. Milwaukee.
Who believes that?
About the Celtics?
Yeah.
You think
the Celtics are going to be a top three team?
Next season? Top five, for sure.
Then they plateaued. They're still at the same level as they were last.
I'm talking about over the next couple of years, because like I'm saying, next year is kind of not a wash, but no Durant next year. Who knows what the Nets are going to look like. Next couple of years, once Durant's back healthy, Kawhi signs the max 5 years, 4 years, whatever. Middleton and Giannis aren't going anywhere. And we're thinking the Celtics are going to rock with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for the next couple of years. You know, the Celtics are – should we really – fear the Nets that much just with Kyrie and Irving?
You couldn't beat them last year.
Celtics struggled with a lot of people last year.
it's out there. You struggled against the Nets. You struggled against a lot of teams. So there's no. Yes, we got Kemba Walker, but the East is going to – outside of
– Does Durant – say? Look at the East now with everybody healthy. Everybody healthy. Durant's back. Oladipo's back. Kawhi stays. We're skipping a season. Say everybody's back. Whatever. Is the Nets the team to fear in the East? Is the Nets the number one seed team to fear in the East?
With Kyrie, KD, and everyone healthy.
Yes.
Yes.
Over Toronto, over Milwaukee.
I think they're in the mix with Toronto.
Are they the top team though?
With Toronto, yes. And Kawhi, you're telling me Kawhi's staying?
Kawhi's staying.
In 2 years? No, Nets.
It's the Nets over Toronto. Yes.
Because I don't think you're getting this. Kyle Lowry by then is, he's washed city.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry's like 35.
Serge Ibaka's not getting any younger. I mean, you're hoping Siakam becomes something special.
And Marc Gasol, he's also not getting
won't be playing. Like,
yeah, and
it'll be the Nets. Nets will run the East.
The thing is, Nets have an interesting trade piece right now in what's his name? Allen. Because, you know, that was the guy who was running the show at the center position. And now, you know, Jordan comes in and pretty much knocks him to the second unit. But now,
does it? I've been hearing Jordan's going to be willing to come off the bench.
What? Jordan doesn't want to start with his boys?
I've been hearing that Jordan will be willing. And that's scary in itself right there.
I mean, the Nets can either do that and let Allen continue to be the young guy who's taking over, or they can rock with DeAndre Jordan and say, look, what kind of supporting pieces can we get around Kyrie and Durant? Because any team will be willing to take Allen to be their next rim protector, starting center. You can make a move and get some shooters or defensive players and whatever around KD and Kyrie moving forward.
All right. So before we get to this Celtics talk, I know we usually do this at the end of the show, but let's get it out the way. The stars and sorries of free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know the game already. You let us know who won, who was the star so far. Who's the sorry? Who's the sorries of the free agency? I think a lot of you guys already know who that's going to be. But Mike Nice, let's start with you. Give me a star.
Star of free agency. You know what? Call me crazy, but I really like, and this even prior to free agency with all the moves that's going to be made, I really like the Pelicans team.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of the Pelicans.
Pelicans are going to be nice.
I really like the moves. Obviously, they got rid of a superstar, Anthony Davis, but getting back Ingram and Ball and Josh Hart's a little energy guy that could come off the bench and provide something. Then you go out and you draft and you get Zion, add him to the mix. Who else am I missing that they probably acquired? Either way, they have a young, talented team over there that I feel, and they got Derek Favors. That's a solid pickup. That's what I'm looking for. And they got J.J. Redick. Now it's starting to come back to me as I'm looking at the transaction taking place. They got some guys over there.
They're a playoff team. They should be a playoff team.
That's a easy 6, maybe 6-7 seed. They'll be down there between the 6th and 8th seed, battling in there somewhere. I see the Pelicans there. And I'm only saying that for next season. If they can keep this team together and they can continue to develop, Lonzo Ball still has a lot of growth. Drew Holiday's there as well. He's a dependable player. I think Ingram has another level he could possibly get to. Who knows what Zion is going to be look like. If he's plays to his potential, you know, this is a guy who can make a lot of noise. They could continue to develop and grow over the next couple of seasons. I really like the Pelicans team. I think Alvin Gentry is a good coach to have. He's not a young dummy who let these young players get some confidence and walk all over them. You know, Alvin Gentry, I feel like, will hold down the fort as a head coach.
He deserves this. I went through some, oh my goodness. He definitely deserves this team, a team like this, and he's going to have a lot of fun with them.
So, yeah, that's my team that I'll give a star to is the New Orleans Pelicans bouncing back in the post-Anthony Davis era. We'll see how they do.
My star is I'm going with my boy Corey, Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
If Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers, the West is really, really wide open. And the Utah Jazz can be that sneaky team there that could, you know, hang up around the top three seed and get, you know, home court advantage and really start to spook up on some teams here. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he's no longer that young player. He's no longer the rookie. He's seen it. He's gone through some battles now. He's going to be third year. He hasn't been an all-star yet, right?
Not yet.
This might be the year he needs to become an all-star. Everyone knows the addition of Mike Conley. Mike Conley, veteran point guard, does everything you need to do. Defense, offense, sets his players up, makes his team better.
Crowder.
Huh?
Crowder.
Crowder's not there no more.
I'm sorry.
Crowder's with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Joe Ingles.
We know what Joe Ingles did to Paul George a couple years ago. Joe Ingles is a baller. They just added Ed Davis to back up Rudy Gobert, 2-time defensive player of the year. So this team is starting to really round out. Bogdanović.
Oh,
he's a scorer. When Oladipo went up, he was their best player.
Sure was.
And now you're adding him alongside Joe Ingles. That team really got some dudes that can score. Mike Conley, a great playmaker. And Donovan Mitchell, he's low-key a great playmaker as well. So there's a lot of ways this team can attack you. Rudy Gobert, he's not a guy you think about with offensive powers, but you miss a shot, he's going to get the offensive
clean it
rebound.
Up.
He's going to clean that up.
Second chance points.
That team really doesn't have many errors on them. They have a great coach. Everyone loves Quinn Snyder. So I'm really going to be looking at the Utah Jazz. I'm excited for that.
Question for you before we get right into the sorries, which I think a lot of people are already in agreement with, will probably be in agreement with, and we'll talk about it. But you just talked about the West being kind of wide open. Two teams that
were...
If Kawhi doesn't go out West, yes.
Two Lakers.
Two teams that kind of flew under the radar since free agency opened up. A team that was pretty much, you know, the second team the last couple of seasons to Golden State. The Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kind of flew under the radar. No big moves were made. Nothing crazy happening with their roster. They're in a sense.
OKC didn't do a damn.
Yeah, pretty much. Both teams are pretty much running it back. The Rockets didn't do anything different. And the Thunder didn't do anything different. But they're just another year of them being together. Now, we heard all the turmoil in Houston between Harden and Chris Paul. But, you know, last two seasons, they're a top three team in the West. Thunder, still Westbrook, still Paul George over there. You know, Steven Adams is sticking around. Dennis Schroeder's still there. And I think they're finally, hopefully, get a full season out of their defensive guy in Andre Roberson. Is the West going through? I mean, obviously, the Lakers might be decent, depending on what other guys they could put around LeBron and Anthony Davis. But is the West going through Houston and Oklahoma right now? Because there's still a couple question marks. Yes, Denver will be there as well. Portland.
No, West is not going through anyone.
It's wide open to everybody.
It's wide open.
Nobody's running away with it.
No one's running away with it. You can maybe make an argument for the Rockets. But this is what, the third year now that they have this team. Teams are going to start to figure you out.
But they had this team and they just kept running into Golden State.
But it doesn't matter. Now this is the third team you're running with the same team. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Paul's not get. We saw him, you know, really slow down in the playoffs here. James Harden's still going to get buckets. He's still going to get 30 points per game. But Mike D'Antoni's system. Once he gets into his fourth, fifth year in the team, people are gonna start to figure you out. That's why he's never been a guy that's been on the team for like 6-7 years because you know first it's hot.
D'Antoni on the hot seat.
At first it's always hot. Boom. Oh my God, D'Antoni system. And then sooner or later, players get old. There's injuries that happen. Teams start to figure you out.
Damn, Phoenix Suns.
It's exactly what you think about. You don't think of – they don't play defense. So Rockets, they'll still be there. They can still be in a hunt for a championship team, but it's not going to be like it's the Rockets and then the rest of the West like it's been with Golden State. It's Golden State and then there's the West, or it's Golden State and Rockets. And no, it's wide.
Yeah, but the top three teams, I feel like in the West, Denver – oh man! Don't worry about the top three teams. Never mind.
Because Mike,
it's really wide open. I'm trying to boil it down.
The top three teams, Mike, that ended. That was in end of April, right? 3 weeks prior to it, they were probably in the middle.
Yeah.
Like the West has been fluent throughout, other than you know two seeds. Maybe it was like Denver and Golden State that just stayed up, switching back and forth. But other than that, it's been always fluent for the past 2 years and now. And it's, now it's just going to be crazy. It could be a point where I wouldn't be surprised when the number one seed and the number nine seed are only like 3 games apart.
And this is what you want, right? Because, you know, a lot of people have been arguing over the last couple of years, oh, too many superstars teaming up. And superstars are still teaming up. But now you look at the West, and we're here talking about the West is going to have some balance to those top eight teams. You're talking about here the number one and number eight seed might be 3 games or like 4 games apart from each other. It's some balance happening. Yes, superstars are still trying to play with each other, but maybe the talent level all around is on the rise in terms of the rosters that teams are putting together. I don't know. But if you could have a conference, whether it's the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, where there's balance, where teams are flipping back and forth and nobody's really running away with it,
it's a beautiful thing.
It's great to have.
Clifton's saying, obviously, you know, if Kawhi Leonard joins the Lakers, they're the top-tier team to be in the NBA. Without a doubt. If you're going to get three of the best five players on the team, that's going
to
be stupid.
It would really be a bad look for Kawhi Leonard to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. They'll be a great team. Yeah, the championship or bust. You know, they'll be the favorites to win it. But just to look at Kawhi, take a team by himself in the Toronto Raptors and win a championship in his first year. No other superstars on that team. Your second best player is who? Siakam or Lowry? Like, to take a team by yourself and show the world, show the rest of the NBA, the rest of the superstars, hey, you don't have to team up with anybody crazy. You can do it with just a solid cast around you and then flip that and go join the Lakers. That's a terrible, ugly look.
I mean, I'm not going to get into it too much because it's not there yet. But real quick with what you said, if Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers, that's what the NBA is going to start becoming again. It's going to start becoming, you know, two stars and some really decent role players.
Oh, so what you trying to say here?
I'm saying the end of the big three guys.
Is on Kawhi right now?
It's on Kawhi Leonard.
Sheesh.
He holds the fate. But that'll be next week's topic because I think by next week we'll know where Kawhi goes. So. Let's get to the sorries real quick. When there's the good,
there's the bad.
When you're bad on this show, we say
sorry. Man, I think everybody's in unison here when we can give a joint sorry to the New York Knicks and how, if you just take it back to the season, the Knicks were so sure. Oh, they, Kristaps Porzingis wants out? Yeah, sure.
Send him out of here.
You can go. Say, Kristaps Porzingis, you don't want to come back here? Sure, it's okay, because we're going to get a top seed. The top pick anyway. We're going to get Zion. And we already think that Durant Kyrie want to come here. Go ahead, Kristaps Porzingis. Get the walking. Let's get a bag of chips for you in return. Because what did they get for Kristaps from Dallas?
They got Dennis Smith Jr., bro. The next Russell Westbrook.
Huh.
They got DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, he stuck around? DeAndre Jordan sticking around? What
about Wesley Matthews, bro?
Oh, Wesley Matthews. Yeah, he's 38. He used to be nice on Utah back with Carlos Boozer and Deron Williams when he was skinny.
Tag by.
They're always better see what the big three's up to, bro.
Yo, the Knicks are so... They're so sorry. It's disgusting. And, like... We even talked to him about this show with James Dolan, how he's an asshole and
he's an idiot.
And from there on out, it just trickles down. I like the coach that they have. I'm blanking on his name right now. Fizdale. I like Fizdale.
He's just in a sorry ass situation. You know,
and then they just piled up power forwards. They got Randall, they got Taj Gibson. They already have Mitchell Robinson.
It's
gonna be a team. They're just gonna get smacked around.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly.
For years.
I'm looking at Derek's comment, and this really is mind-boggling to me. You get a chance to probably have a phone call, conference call, face-to-face meeting with Kevin Durant. And you mean to tell me somewhere along that conversation, even if Durant in his mind is probably like, yo, I'm already going to Brooklyn. It doesn't matter. But let me just hear what you guys have to say. Let's hear your sweet talk. Let's hear your best offer. What can you do for Kevin Durant? What can you do for me if I come play for your team? And you mean to tell me somewhere along the lines in that meeting, you tell him, Kevin Durant, we're not going to give you the max because we don't believe in your abilities to bounce back and be a great player again. So we'll take you here if you want to come. It just take you some less money, won't be the max, and we'll welcome you here with open arms. The moment Kevin Durant laid on that hospital bed for them to operate on his Achilles, the Warriors already said, we giving him the max no matter what. Other teams said, if he's willing to come here, we giving him the max no matter what. The Knicks... Over here worried about, well, his Achilles, I don't know. That's Kevin Durant. You're not talking about a bum. You're not talking about some dummy. Say Kevin Durant does lose a little bit of athleticism because of his Achilles. The man's still 7 foot tall with an ice, water in your veins jumper.
It's still dropping 25 on your net.
He's still shooting over anybody. And you mean to tell me you approach this guy not willing to put all your chips on the table? You gotta be a damn fool.
It's okay. They're gonna get Giannis in 2021.
Bro.
They're gonna get Giannis Antetokounmpo. The freak is coming to New York.
It's sad. I literally don't believe anybody wants to play for New York. And we used to say that about the Celtics and the Celtics being a team that nobody wants to come for.
But the lure of the New York Knicks, the Madison Square Garden.
What was the lure last year? The year before that. The year before that, nobody's come there. Who's the last person they got? Carmelo? Yeah,
the fact that the Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets took Kyrie and KD.
They're right down the street.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody wants to play for the New York Knicks. I'm sick of hearing about this Madison. Don't talk to me no more about the Madison Square Garden and the Mystique. And all. It's dead. Nobody's going there. Nobody wants to play in New York. Nobody give a damn about the Madison Square Garden because they would have been had out of all the superstar, the A-level, B-level free agents that have passed through these last couple years.
Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony.
Where they all at? They got a more popular team in China with Marbury than they do with the Knicks.
God, golly. You are so disrespectful. You
got Marbury walking around China like the president. He walked down the street in New York. Marbury walked down the street in New York. They're going to ask him about his $25 shoes from Walmart.
Come on, bro. To be honest with you, I've never seen Marbury shoes in stores.
Oh, it was a farce. It was a fallacy.
I've never walked and seen some Starberries. I've seen people wearing, but I just never knew where they got them at. Must be Target.
It was a false. It was false advertisement. Them things was hot. How come he was rocking them with the Celtics? He was.
Yeah, he was.
Even think he rocked his own shoes when he was here. Matter, he didn't ball him anyway.
Can you find him on Amazon? I'm about to look him up on Amazon right now.
Check eBay. You could find eBay? You could find him on eBay with one of the laces missing in the left foot.
The Starberries. I heard they were cheap. I tried to tell my mom to get me them. I ain't find them nowhere.
Do not wear Starberries.
Stop.
Marv, those are nuts. If I could show y'all on camera when Marv typed the Starberries and what popped up. Yo, them things are erased off the face of the earth. Anyways.
These are the Charberries.
Our dude Sam said you got to find them shoes at Bradley's. Maybe Ames. Shout out to maybe Building 19 got
come on, Payless.
Yo, Payless don't even want them shoes in there, bro. Come on. But yeah,
Payless Knicks had the Shaqs. Sorry.
Yeah, they was all set with the Shaqs. At least I seen Shaqs a couple places. But Marbury's, yeah. Anyways, Knicks.
Definitely the sorries.
Definitely the sorries. And you know, free agency is not over.
It's not.
But like, it's not looking good for the Knicks. Starberries or Baller Bread? Which one would you rock?
I'm rocking the triple B. You must be crazy.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah. Knicks definitely the sorry of the free agency. Like, I don't see them making much noise this Golden season. State. You know, Golden State could have made things very simple for them. In my opinion, just sign back DeMarcus Cousins. And obviously, he get a full year to really, you know, work on his body. Because, you know, last year, whether it was the injury in the playoffs or even coming back from the Achilles injury, he was never in shape. Never in great shape. Yes, you have to come back from the injury, but he wasn't in good shape. And I think he's finally pretty healthy. He has the whole offseason to be able to work out and get himself right. And next year, he's easily the third option on that team. Well, second option, I'm sorry, because there's no Clay. He's easily the second option between Curry and DeMarcus Cousins. And for some reason, they don't want him back. Whether that's on him or Rory, I don't know. But
yeah, Golden State, I don't want to say sorry, but losing Kevin Durant and how that whole thing transpired and then Andre Iguodala.
Another big loss.
Andre Iguodala hasn't even got back to Oakland yet, and they already gave him the pink slip.
Sheesh.
Saying, you're off to Memphis because he was chatting. Maybe they watched Double M. Maybe it's our fault.
I mean, the talk is Iguodala knew for a while he wasn't coming back, which is why he started chirping a lot.
Yeah, he was talking about the medical staff, everything like that. But hey, I know you. Before we get to Celtics, Mike.
Yep.
You brought up something interesting about Golden State and what the general manager said today about Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. So, Bob Myers came out and said the Warriors will be retiring Kevin Durant's number 35 jersey. And, you know, it's just an interesting conversation to me, in my opinion, to have, because this is a guy. He's going into their Raptors or whatever they call it in the Golden State because of two championships and two finals MVPs. That's it.
Yep.
That's all it takes to have your jersey retired for playing for a team for 3 years.
Mike, the man came and delivered you two championships and was two MVPs. Tell me how many teams in the NBA have two championships and two MVPs in their Raptors? Teams will beg for that right now.
You're right. You know, I always look at jerseys getting retired and just talk, and always the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm wrong for doing this, but sometimes I don't even look at accolades. I just be like, how long were they with the team to deserve that? That's part of the reason why I have arguments with people with Kevin Garnett. Because some people say Kevin Garnett's number needs to go up. And I've always been one that said Kevin Garnett's number 5 jersey does not need to go up in the Raptors. Because if you put his jersey up, Ray Allen's needs to go up. Maybe even Rondo needs to go up. So I always think, how long was that player with the team for their number to get retired? But, I mean, I guess like you're saying and what the Warriors probably feel, back-to-back titles.
He brought you two championships.
Back-to-back finals MVPs.
Two finals MVPs. There's,
in three seasons.
He's the only two-time finals MVP in Golden State history. Andre Iguodala is going to get his numbers hanged up, too. He has to.
So why didn't they come out and say that already? Why are they waiting?
They came out to say KD because they feel guilty for everything that's going on. But Iguodala, if his name doesn't go to the Raptors, KD made Iguodala a Hall of Famer.
Sure. So who got traded? Memphis. Once Zach Randolph and Tony Allen left, they wasted no time saying
because of the culture that they brought
in. Iguodala sacrificed.
He'll get up.
They need to announce Iguodala's number 9
to announce it right away.
Why they got a new Durant for?
Teams, they did Durant because they did Durant dirty. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for Durant to get. You saw his fake tears that Rob Myers did in the press conference. They did Durant dirty, so they wanted to come out and say no one will wear the number 35. They traded Iguodala, so they can't really say much right now. But eventually, Iguodala's number will definitely go up in the Golden State Warriors.
All right. I guess for what Durant accomplished in his 3 years, they could put it up. Yeah.
Boston Celtics.
The Boston Celtics. So, man, oh, man. Let's start with the obvious.
Kemba Walker signs, the max. 4 years, 140, right? 4 years, 140 million?
Yeah, something.
Yep. Yes. 4 years, $141 million. Same thing as Kyrie signed over there in Brooklyn.
He took a little less. Kyrie took a little less for DeMarcus.
DeAndre Jordan. Kemba Walker, Danny Ainge pulled... Before we talk about anything, Danny Tampering Ainge pulled a boss move. Kyrie was on his way out. Everyone knew it. So before Kyrie can even announce that he's leaving or another team that we knew was going to be the Nets picked him up, Danny said, yeah, cool. Kemba's already a Celtic. Boom, get that out the way. And that lessens the blow, for guys like Mike who... We're waiting for Kyrie to leave and go off. And why did he leave us after seeing all the things that he said during the beginning of the year?
Guy is full of poop.
It lessened the blow. Kemba's here. Boom. You get your replacement. And it's not a bad replacement either. Yes, he's a little bit older. But you look at the stats. We can compare everything like that. Kyrie's a better player. Let's not even... I know Mike's not going to argue with me about it.
We're not going
to do that. Kyrie's better than Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker may be a better fit for the Celtics. We'll continue. We'll talk about that. Horford leaves the Celtics. We spoke a little bit about it. We know how big of a blow that is.
Horford leaving the Celtics... Yeah, people could say, well, he just wanted more money. I don't know. I really do believe... There has to be more than just the money that drove Horford away from the Boston Celtics. It's not just another team could have offered him $100 million. Because when the season ended, the initial conversation was Horford's willing to, decline his player option so he could rework something to stay with the Celtics. But then things started falling apart from there where talks fell apart. And then the Celtics got Kemba. And then they talked about doing a sign-and-trade. And even after the sign-and-trade happened, I think they were calling it on NBC Sports Boston the cap space gymnastics that the Celtics were trying to do to try to get Horford back. Horford said, I don't care what kind of moves y'all make. I'm still not coming back. So it makes me believe that it was something more than just money that Horford didn't want to be a part of Boston anymore. I don't know if he had a problem with the players, the culture. People who talk to me know how I feel about how Brad Stevens ran the team last year or runs the team in general. But something I feel really pushed Horford out the door.
Also, you got to remember, Mike, we're in the age of tampering. Maybe Horford already been known that the Sixers, and just because we found out late, doesn't mean Horford didn't find out late.
Yeah.
The Sixers could have been told Horford a week ago, hey, this is what's on the table for you, $109 million. So when the Celtics are scrambling and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, Horford's like, yeah, $109 million.
Already waiting for me.
Yeah, I'm not coming back. So, it's our timeline of how we see things is a lot different than what was happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time believing what you're saying, that the Celtics were so screwed up that Horford didn't want no parts of it.
We don't know. Crazy. We don't know. We do know the Celtics had issues last year.
Definitely.
Behind the scenes with the players, with the coach. So I'm not saying that was the driving force out of Horford leaving. $100 million is a lot of money. But I don't know. It just, the way it came out in the media, it just makes you feel that Horford wanted out for different reasons.
So then Celtics, their first move is they get Ernest Cantor yesterday, Monday.
Great move.
Two years, $10 million. Cantor, power forward slash center.
Good move.
Skill set, offensive rebounding, scoring the post.
Defensive skill set, nada.
Non-existent.
Which is why the Celtics then got another French guy, Vitor Favorant. Nah, that's not his name. What's his name?
Come on.
That's not his name. Fab Melo. Rest in peace. Not Fab Melo. Who's the next French guy? Yabusele's cousin? No, hold on. Somebody tell me, why does Danny Ainge continue to seek guys out overseas to come play with the Celtics and hope that a miracle happens? Yabusele, why is he still on the roster? I don't know. What's his name? Daniel Tice. I don't have a problem with Tice, but like, in this current situation, there is a list of free agent big men who, would they give Tice 2 years, $10 million? Yep. They could have easily, I'm telling you, swung that to one of these multiple big men that are still available.
I'm going to say this before we continue.
And they go get some French guy who's never sniffed in. You got veteran players with talent on free agency who know the grind of the NBA, what needs to be brought to the table to play in the league, what the league requires from you. And they go get a 26-year-old dude who's been playing in the European League.
Your obsession or hate for Yabusele is quite concerning.
He sucks, Marv.
No. It's gotten to the point where I'm kind of concerned for you.
You know what? It's because it just makes me so upset.
Look at the vein just sweating. Like, relax.
It makes me.
The reason I don't like Yabusele, right? But he doesn't bother me to the point because I know he's like the last person on the bench. He plays 3 minutes a game.
But why even waste the time? Having him.
Why hate a man that's only playing 3 minutes that he doesn't help you win, he doesn't help you lose. He's just nothing.
You know, I'm sorry, because I saw the Celtics over the last several seasons struggle because they don't have decent defense and rebounding coming from their big man positions in the power forward or center. And when they do struggle, when Baines is hurt or Horford's tired and needs to rest, they have to roll out lineups of Daniel Tice and Yabusele.
Yabusele averages 3 minutes per game.
He should average no minutes. I want to know how. I want to know the minutes he averaged putting cans of corn and rice into a grocery bag at the local grocery store.
That's why I say it's concerning. Because did Yabu do something to you? Did you see him across in the streets or something? He smacked you?
I just wish he didn't waste the Celtics' time. And they could have put that time and energy and that 3 minutes to maybe somebody else who can actually, when they go into the game, do something.
French Draymond Green.
Marv.
Did you not Marv. Hear? When they said,
I can't look at this dude no more.
Number 16, Yabusele.
Marv, one of the fans that like to see this dude dab after missing his 8 3-pointer. Marv, want to see this dude arrow and dab after he misses 7 to 8 3-pointer. I'm done.
I agree with you, Mike. Nothing you're saying is wrong. I'm just saying your Yabu obsession you need to calm down, bro.
Calm down.
You need to relax. Relax, take it easy. Let's move on. So, Celtics right now, right? Kemba Walker's leading this team?
No. We talked about this earlier, Marv. Kemba Walker will be here. Kemba Walker will be a solid player for the Celtics, might be a great fit. But this season, more than ever, needs to be a passing of the torch, passing of the keys to the ship to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Can't wait anymore.
One of the two.
One of the two, both of them. I personally hope that it's the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum show. I know Gordon Hayward's still there. Kemba Walker's now part of this team. But
Hayward.
This season, I don't care if it happens at the beginning of the season or transpires throughout the course of the season, but this season, the 2019-2020 season needs to be the passing of the torch to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Because, like you said, earlier, these are two guys are going to the third and fourth season in the NBA. It's time to, it's time to make some noise for real.
With the Celtics, if the Celtics want to be a contending team in the years to come, Kemba's great. Kemba's awesome. But we mentioned how he's not Kyrie. He's not Kyrie's level. If you, sorry, Celtics fan, if you don't want to hear it, believe it. There it is. But all-star, perennial all-star, we know that. In order to be a contending team, Jalen and or Jason will need to be the best player on the team.
They got to take it to another level.
They need to be the best player on the team. They need to be the ones that are your they don't have to necessarily be your closer, but they have to be the best player on the team that's leading the troops out there. Because Kemba, you're not going to see point guards lead you to the championship. It just doesn't happen. It's very rare. Tatum had a sorry-ass season last year. I'll say, because no one else wants to say, and everyone wants to, you know, protect the young kid. He had a sorry ass year. Whether it was the Kyrie effect, whether it was something mental.
The trade rumors.
You know, he turned 21, he started hitting the bar. I don't know what it was. The trade rumors. But he had a sorry ass year.
Brown stepped up.
Brown stepped up after having a sorry ass first half of the year.
Yeah, you know? They just freaking flip-flop.
they definitely flip-flop. But we know Tatum's. I say yes, sorry ass year, but we know Tatum's talent. We know how great he can be. We see how hard Jaylen Brown wants it, and one of them can be that. I'm saying one of them has to be it, but I also believe they can be it. Gordon Hayward, can he just give us 13 to 15 points, help and look more aggressive?
That's it.
The fact that he can be 18 plus points a game, that's behind me right now. Maybe he's out working hard, and that'll be a bonus.
Yeah,
maybe that's a bonus, and that's a huge surprise, Celtics shocking. But I just need a consistent 13 to 15 points, 25 to 30 minutes consistently.
And I don't think many people will be upset, because if he could do that, you know, sprinkled in just like last year, he'll have a maybe random 30-point game or something. He'll go off. But if you're getting 25 to 30 and give us a consistent average on the season between 13 and 15 points, I don't think anybody can be upset knowing that Tatum and Brown are really taking over, and the number one and two, or number one, two, three, whatever option with Kemba mixed in there as well.
Now, I'll tell you this, and Mike, you mentioned it earlier about Kanter's defense, right? Celtics fans, be prepared for scores looking like 132 to 125, 126 to 118. Celtics defensively are going to be sorry AF. Last year they couldn't defend the pick and roll for anything, right? And you still had Horford and Baines in there. This year we're talking about Kemba, who, as great as he is offensively, can't play defense whatsoever. And it's not like you can really hide him. Yes, Marcus Smart's going to be there, but Tatum is not that great of a defender either. He doesn't have it in him right now. So you got Kemba, who can't play defense. You got Kanter, who can't play defense. Imagine when those two are on the court together. That they're going to get diced up.
Release,
crazy.
Release the Time Lord.
Talk to me.
Robert Williams needs to get playing time. I know a lot of talk, oh, what can we get for Capella? How can we get Capella in Boston? Me, I've always been on the nah, don't need Capella side of things, because I feel like Robert Williams can be your Capella. And I know people question, oh, does he really have the heart? And does he have the motivation to be good? And does he want to be great? Does he really care that much? We saw spurts of this guy's talent. I don't care about when the guy played, he can block shots. He can grab rebounds. He can dunk. He's young and athletic. Something that a lot of teams have. Something that the Celtics have needed for years now. He's sitting right there. Robert Williams, I don't care if he's going to be the starting center or the first center, big man off the bench. Robert Williams needs minutes this year. I don't care if it's just his second year in the league. Robert Williams needs minutes. Point blank, period. They can't screw that up.
Clifton says the Celtics defense gives over 100 points per game, they will not make the playoffs.
And the East, they'll make the playoffs.
They'll make the playoffs. But I'm telling you right now, Clifton, they're not going to be shutting teams down. Right now, while it's July, the season hasn't started yet. I'm trying to help you guys out. Put in your head now. The Celtics will not be that good defensively to start off. Yes, I know we got Marcus Smart. Yes, Brad Stevens is known as a defense. Let it go, guys. They're going to let up a lot of. They let up a lot of points last year.
Yeah.
They're going to let up a lot of points this year. They're just going to have. You're hoping with Tatum, Hayward, Brown, Kemba, Cantor. We're talking about scorers here. That they can outscore and do. And then you have Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown to do, you know, some gritty things in there that will help out.
Last thing I'll say real quickly about Brad Stevens and his team moving forward. You got Cantor, Asain playing, Robert Williams, Tice is going to be back. You got this new guy from France who I watched his highlights before I got here today, and he's nothing but good pick and roll, rebound, dunk type of player. Please, Brad Stevens, for the love of God, keep these big men in the paint. I don't want to see Cantor shooting threes, Robert Williams shooting threes, Tice shooting threes, the new French guy shooting threes. Keep these guys playing to their strengths and keep them in the paint, and then let the wing players and Kemba do their thing.
Nelson asks, what do we think about Taco Fall? He's going to be a great G League
guy. Let's see what happens in the summer league.
He'll be great in the G League. I don't think he sniffs 1 second into an NBA court. That's my opinion. If it works out, wow, what a blessing, what a find. And then it'll go back to Danny Ainge being a genius. But Taco Fall is not going to sniff anything in the NBA. I don't believe. He can't move. We saw a little bit of him in college. He can't move his feet.
NBA is a different animal.
He'll get exposed bad in the NBA. He just doesn't have that skill set, unlike a guy like Ball Ball, where you know he can move around a little bit, and he has potential to be something in the NBA. But it doesn't hurt to have Taco on the team. Try him out, see if anything happens. No harm to that.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping that the Seas make some things happen, and we'll see how it all unfolds. Summer League right around the corner. We'll see how things start to unfold with the Summer League team. All the rookies on the team, Taco Fall will be there. Robert Williams is going to be there. Yabusele going to be there, but...
The rookies, we haven't even spoken on the rookies, who this team is, I know we lost Horford and Kyrie, but this team is crowded. I don't know how much time these rookies are going to really be getting either, but you know, Grant Williams, he's like possibly the PJ Tucker of the team. He's the one who's been saying all the right things. Skill set, you know, he rebounds, tough nose player. I'm excited to see how he looks during summer camp, so you know, this is a different talk than last year, Mike.
Yeah.
Last year, we're talking about championships. This year, this year, we're just talking about progressing. And damn, it hurts.
Step back.
It's a step back, you know, a Kyrie step back.
See what you did there. But yeah, Marv, you know, a lot more Celtics talk, a lot more NBA talk to be coming up soon. Stay with us. But Marv, put a wrap, put a bow on episode 20 for us.
This is episode 20, man. Thank you, everyone in the comments. Sorry if we couldn't get to everyone, but y'all made this show another spectacular one. We didn't have Miss Team Mac, but, you know, she'll be back next week, and we'll hold it down once again. This was the free agency edition of the Double M Show. You already know who this man is.
This is Mike Nice.
You already know who that is. This is DJ Mies. Guys, once again, thank you very much. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. What else am I missing?
Spotify.
We're on radio.com. So we global. We live. We out.